B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corporally's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. It's Jason Martinez, Tyler Zuli. We're in for Mikey Miss here on the day before the 4th of July. Big holiday weekend for everybody. A lot of offices closed today. Getting the day off as the national holiday with the 4th of July falling on a Saturday. Hope everybody stays safe and healthy this weekend and somehow enjoy the celebration of our independence in some way, shape, or form this weekend as sports are set to make their return. And to varying degrees, the Eagles will be in training camp. It was reported yesterday that rookies will report on the 21st of July, which is now just, 18 days away. And then veterans will report on the 28th of July. No off-season program, so maybe it's good to get the rookies in a week early, let them get some work done that they normally would be able to get done with OTAs and minicamp. The NBA going to be heading to Orlando to get their season underway and get things sealed off in their bubble, if you will. The NHL will start training camps next Friday, the 10th. Looks like a new CBA will be in hand as well with a four-year extension, which is great news. Labor certainty is a good thing. And Major League Baseball working out right now, getting set for their season, and that's just around the corner as well. We're going to have all these sports going on at the same time. It's been an unprecedented time, obviously, in our country, but to have all four sports going on at the same time in a shortened every game means a ton more baseball season, in an NFL season that we can't wait for it to get here, and then the NHL concluding, I guess not concluding their regular season, but having the expanded playoff and a chance to hand out the cup, and then in the NBA, concluding the 8 games of the regular season and then going on to the playoffs, all happening at the same time. Like, we haven't had sports in 115 days, and now there's a deluge coming. It's like standing at the bottom of a mountain and an avalanche is coming. You know what I mean?
Sports paradise is about to be here.
Is it, though?
If everything stays okay,
yeah,
and everybody's healthy, we're about to be hit with a lot of really good sports.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I heard when we were coming back, I heard the highlight clip in there. Like, we need new highlights, you know? Like, you haven't heard a team score a run or hit a home run or catch a touchdown or score a goal or make a three-pointer in forever.
Can't wait to hear, you know, Timmy and Coatsy on the Flyers call and Tom on the,
it's gonna
the
be
Sixers
great.
Call again. It's going to be so much fun.
You know, I was surprised. I saw this on my way in today on Facebook that, you know, some people on Facebook friends with that work in the industry, that they allowed some media members into the workouts today at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah.
They were there to observe it.
Yeah, hanging out in media row all the way up top.
Yeah. Now, you're watching it from up there, but I was shocked to see that, all things considered. But, hey, it's good to get them back in there. We'll see, you know, how the media is going to cover the NBA playoffs, how the media is going to cover the Stanley Cup playoffs. Are the announcers even going to be in the buildings? From what I understand in the NHL, I don't know that the play-by-play announcers will be in the buildings. It hasn't been fully determined yet, but I imagine they'll be calling the games off of a monitor.
You would think so. I mean, the ability to still do it from a studio or from the home or wherever is going to make it way easier than having to send additional people down there, and not just the play-by-play crew, but engineers and
statisticians. Yeah, they're
going
to have to send some of that anyway. Yeah. You have to have camera operators. You're going to have the truck. And
well, unless you know, somebody provides like a universal feed.
Well, yeah,
they might
only have one crew to do it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably, from what I understand, that's what they'll do. And look, while there no fans is obviously a big difference, there's some advantages or some things they can try out. And for your viewing experience, that could be far different. You can put cameras in places that you couldn't put them before because they would impede the view of a fan. And to me, don't put cardboard cutouts in the stands. Don't pipe in crowd noise. Like, we're not dumb. Like, we know there's no fans there. So don't give me fake crowd noise. It is what it is. It's different. I know. It may be uncomfortable for announcers at first, not having the safety net of a fans roaring. But make do. Make it, it's different for a reason, and hopefully it's the only time we have to go through it like this in our lifetimes where there's no fans able to attend these games. So take advantage of it in a way. Bring us more sound of the athletes playing. I know that everybody loves when they do these documentaries, whether it's Hard Knocks or 24/7s, whatever, training camp things, and you get behind the scenes and you get players mic'd up because we're all voyeurs. We want to see what they're saying to each other. how they talk smack and all that. Like, you could, you tell me, like, Joel Embiid wouldn't be extra entertaining if you could hear everything he said on the floor. I'm all for that. Well, don't give me fake crowd noise.
They're going to have to walk a fine line, though. That's the only problem. You know, and that's why they've discussed maybe delaying broadcasts
because
to monitor that.
Yeah.
But you're right.
On
it
a cable channel. Like they did with The Last Dance. They got the clean channel, and you got the one where you'd hear the F-bombs.
And that's a great example, actually, because that may have set the tone for future shows and future games, that you may get like a, you know, the PG version or the G version, and then a PG-13 version.
Yeah, or R. Well, the one thing, though, I wonder, though, is will the players sign off on it? Because, you know, we're in this cancel culture right now, and everybody's offended by everything. And, you know, the nerds will get offended when a player calls another guy a nerd. You know what I mean? And it's going to go way beyond that. When you're competing for a championship, players are going to say things, and I'm not saying, like, politically incorrect things, but they're going to say things with salty language to their opposition to try and get them off their game. That's just sports. So if a player, if it's not a situation where the player knows they're mic'd up, but it's just everybody's mic'd up because the parabolic mics are available there, I don't know that the players' unions will sign off on that. Because ultimately, what will happen, a lot of players will say things and people will be offended. And then here we go again. You know what I mean? And the outrage. Because everybody wants to be offended by everything now. It's just, that's the way our society is. And with social media, everybody's got a voice. And, you know, what Twitter is, it's, you know, it's a breeding ground for the dumb, and you can't cure stupid. And that's what you get on social media. I saw a guy tweet the other day that if Twitter, everybody had to be verified, and it was your real name, it would be far different. And I totally agree. You get rid of all these trolls and eggs, all that stuff.
You'd have it would be mostly, you know, people like ourselves, reporters who are using it for our jobs.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we're coming up on at 2 o'clock. Here's what we got going on.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the update.
Yeah, here's a lot of there's a lot of people out there that, like, their boss doesn't even know they're on Twitter because they're on there as whatever your name is, whatever your fake name is. And they have this alter ego. 610-632-0975, which is oftentimes pretty pathetic. 610-632-0975. Let's start giving out some names here, too, in the 3 o'clock hour. Let's go to Lauren in Norristown, starts us off on the hour. What's up, Lauren?
Hey, Jason. Hey, Tyler. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
Jason, I wanted to respond to the question that you posed about, you know, the fans and Washington, and, you know, what do they do with their, you know, their souvenirs and, you know, their collectibles and all that good stuff. And I'm an NBA fan, Sixers, you know, super fan. And, you know, it made me think about Washington has been through this before with the Washington Bullets. And, you know, they had to change their name to the Wizards. So those fans had to adjust. I don't know what they did with them, Washington Bullets jerseys and the collectibles, but, you know, I'm sure they have, you know, the Bullets collectible items, and they started collecting the Wizards items. So, you know, granted, Bullets isn't necessarily offensive, like, you know, using the word Redskins. I mean, that's, you know, definitely, in my opinion, you know, more intransitive and, you know, but, I just think that as fans, you know, you would just start collecting the new items, and after a while, you just realize that, you know, that was part of the history, but when you know better, you do better.
Yeah, look, I don't know what they're going to change the name to. Like, I don't know if they try and stay in that same realm, but with a less offensive name or a non-offensive name. Like, if they were the Washington Native Americans, is that okay? Like, I don't know. Is that okay? That's not okay, right?
In my opinion,
because it's a mascot. Yeah. You know, you're making a race of people a mascot.
I agree.
So, I don't know what they changed the name to. You can keep the color scheme and change it to whatever you want. You know, look, I'm just wondering, there's a lot of history there where the team had success. And you know how people are with memorabilia.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you just add to that memorabilia and, like you said, you keep the color scheme and, you know, you just change the name.
All right, let me give you, Lauren, let me give you a cream of the current crop. And you said you're a big Sixers fan.
Yeah.
So let me give you Ben Simmons. Is he great, good, solid, or is it, see you, I wouldn't care?
I would say Ben is good right now. You know, good leaning towards great. I do think the jump shot is holding him back.
Yep.
But I think then we do this, make his jump shot when he's ready to make the jump shot.
Well, can we do that like soon?
I think so, yeah.
I just want to make sure that when he's ready to make the jump shot, thanks for the call, Lauren, is going to be soon. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, now's a good time. And Tyler, you and I were talking about this during the break. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. I don't think you did either.
I like to think so.
But we've heard a lot from some Sixers members over the last couple of days, from Brett Brown and Ben Simmons' Zoom media conference the other day, and now Al Horford. Now, what did Al Horford had to say? He's something about he didn't feel right physically all year until now?
Yeah, basically he said that he wasn't at his peak performance. And I'll get you the full quote in a minute, but he said that he really benefited from the time off.
Okay. Wasn't he off before the season?
You'd think so.
He had an off season, right? Like, I remember that Boston didn't play all through the summer. He didn't play summer league, and he did sign a big contract, and he just wasn't ready physically.
Yep. Here's the quote, by the way.
That's telling.
Quote, I probably wasn't where I wanted to be. Not going to make any excuses. Right now, I'm in a much better place. The time off for me is beneficial.
Okay. Now, he's an older player, and sometimes the time off and heading into, eight games left of a regular season and heading into a playoff, like, that's going to be one of the interesting elements of this, is none of these teams in the winter sports and the NHL and NBA have ever entered the playoffs with a break of this length before going into the playoffs, unless you were an injured player, didn't play all year, but that's different. So, you know, that could be a good thing. Like, everybody's entering on an even playing field. Nobody has played, and they're all healthier than they were when the pandemic started. But then Brett Brown, and let me read you this quote, because I'm reading this story that's on in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and it's really interesting because the story's about, and David Murphy wrote it, the NBA might be attempting the impossible in a return, but everyone should be rooting for it to succeed. And Brett Brown's quoted in the story, and he says, going through all the pandemic things in this, and he says, I hold a high level of optimism. I feel like I also live in reality. I'm inherently curious about this, as we all are. None of us will be that bold to claim this is going to be great and is going to see us through to October. I respect Adam Silver's comment that nothing is safe, but this isn't a work in progress. It might be a template for all the leagues to come in the future, but he also goes on to say that his team is going to be in a better position now than they ever were. And he also said that Joel Embiid is in better shape than he's ever been. Like, I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. Why is Embiid in better shape now than he's ever been? He hasn't been able to work out at the facility every day during this period of time. Like, I've heard this before. Do we need to hear that again?
Well, and to add on top of it, I know that I'm just kind of piling on at this point, but Ben Simmons said that, you know, he's ready to go. He feels great. And, you know, I think the quote was he feels better than he did at the beginning of the season.
Okay.
So we're just like adding on these comments.
Why wasn't he ready for the season? Like, we complained all offseason about Ben, you know, putting out the videos while he was dating a Kardashian. And he shouldn't be dating her. He should be working out. Well, he was working out, but why wasn't he in tip-top shape to start the season? Like, that's even more concerning for me. I don't know if I'm picking things apart here. But, like, when it comes to this Sixers group, I think there is a lack of maturity and a lack of, you know, culpability. And are they all of a sudden now going to take things seriously that they're the sixth seed? I don't know. Something's just not sitting right here.
And how many more times can we say I'll believe it when I see it?
Yeah, enough already.
Without having some kind of change happen.
Yeah,
it's somewhere. Not players, but somewhere.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Would you categorize Ben as good? Is that where you have Ben?
I would actually categorize Ben as great. And the reason that I do, because I think I look at him in three seasons, a two-time All-Star, probably going to be on the first team All-Defense this year. If not, he's a surefire lock for, you know, All-Team second defense. That rating that came out by Basketball Index that said that based on the matchup, he's the toughest matchup in the NBA when you compare offense and defense together. Mm-hmm. He's a 99.9 out of 100. There's just so many great things about Ben Simmons that I can't push him down one peg because he doesn't shoot the jumper.
So it's a really hot girl with bad feet. Like, if you're complaining about her feet, like, yeah, you're like, all right, you're picking things apart.
We're picking on the one thing that he doesn't do well when I think he does everything else extremely well.
Yeah, he does.
And the thing is, if he gets the jump, if the jumper is even half successful, if we had an option better than great, he might be there.
Yeah, he'd be superstar.
Yeah.
But the problem is for me, and the reason why I don't have him at great yet, is because there's an element of his game that he hasn't tapped yet, and that's shooting. And to me, the fact that he's not willing to do that is the reason why he's not great yet. He's still worried about missing shots and how it looks. And as an elite athlete, you got to not care about that. You know what I mean? Like, Jordan didn't care about, was never worried about missing the shot. He's worried about making the shot. It's a different way to look at it, I guess. Let's go to John in the Northeast on the Fanatic. Hey, John.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Yeah, no one was, I can't help but think of, and especially in hockey, how they're going to react when they score the first goal.
What do you mean, like without crowd?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll react the same way. Look, I think, here's what I believe, that when they play games, like the crowd is there and you can use it to your advantage and you can use it and let it bother you. But when you're actually playing a game, I don't even think you hear the crowd. I've talked to a lot of guys on the Flyers during the pause about this on my Flyers Daily podcast. You're kind of blocking that anyway. You're concentrating on doing what you have to do in whatever sport you're playing. You're not paying attention to the crowd. You're trying to hear your teammates. You're trying to execute. So I don't think that those things affect players the way we think they do during the flow of play.
No, I agree. Up to four sports, I think that's where the home field or home ice, whatever you want to call it, matters the least, especially in the playoffs, you know?
What, in hockey it matters the least?
Exactly. Matters the least.
Okay. Why is that?
Probably, it just don't. I'm not going to go look at the stats. I know a lot of them, but it only matters is when, really, come second period and come first overtime when it's a longer switch.
Yeah.
Is where your bench is. I don't think...
Well, you get last change. There is an element
exactly.
to that.
Yeah, exactly. What I'll miss, though, I'll miss them horns. If say you're watching a Capitals game or a Penguins game, you miss them horns and the fans going nuts. It sounds like the old Spectrum.
Well, they should still blow the horn when a team scores a goal.
Yeah. They don't even do it. They do it prior to, though, like when just during a rally. You'll miss the home, you know, the atmosphere, so to speak. And you'll miss, I guess, you'll still play the music and all that jazz. But like you said, it's going to be different because we've never seen it before.
Yeah. And like let's embrace the difference. Let's not try and cover it up. Yeah. I mean,
like the other gentleman said, it's going to be great because we'll be hit with a barrage of everything. So look, glass is either half full or half empty or half full. And I can't wait.
All right. Let me give you a cream of the current crop and you can categorize them for me. Let me give you Claude Giroux. Is he great, good, solid, but not essential, or see, I don't need you anymore?
That's it. I'm a diehard hockey fan.
That's why I gave it to you.
I know.
I wasn't going to give you a layup here.
Yeah.
Although this should be a layup.
He's great, to be honest.
Okay.
I'll critique them because they don't win the cup or they don't do this or that, but if, after all said and done, if you look at his stats and the players around him, he's great. He'll go down probably as one of the top 10 Flyers without doubt.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree. Thanks for the call, John. All right. So always an interesting case study when it comes to Claude Giroux because they haven't won a playoff series since 2012, even though he scored in 2010 an overtime game-winning goal and a team went to the finals, though he wasn't the key cog at that point in his career just yet. So, Tyler, Claude Giroux, great, good, solid, but non-essential, or C, and I don't care?
This was a tough one, and you and I had a conversation about this before the show started today.
Obviously, this one's not tough for me.
It's not tough for you. And I tweeted yesterday, Claude Giroux, most underappreciated athlete, maybe in Philly history, just because of the sheer craziness that comes along with him, despite the fact that he's been successful individually. And you made a mention of greatness comes with success.
Accomplishment.
Yeah, accomplishment, right. Mm-hmm. So accomplishment-wise, he is great, I think, because he has had an insane run. You know, like we talked about before the show started, since 2010, he's second fourth in assists in the league, fourth in points, and, you know, sixth in games played. So he's the model of consistency, you know, out on the ice. I would say talent level at this point, he's good. Accomplishments, he's great.
Okay. Was he great talent-wise?
Yes.
And just he's 32 now, and maybe the talent's eroded a little bit.
Yeah, he was great and unfortunately suffered the Scott Rolen, Bobby Abreu fate that there was nothing else around him for a long time.
And you can't hold that against him because like that's a GM's job. That's not a player's job, right? And you go, sometimes it's not look, availability, like some people will say, well, why are you giving him credit for playing the sixth most amount of games in a decade? Like, he's supposed to play. Yeah, but not all players do. And it doesn't matter how good you are in sports if you are not available. Availability is number one. That's the greatest part. 610-632-0975. Two Johns on hold. We'll get to you guys coming up. And we got some open phone lines at 610-632-0975. Shocking news here, breaking news. Claude Giroux is great. Not only, and what he has accomplished as an individual athlete, but I don't think his skills have eroded. I still think he has great talent. Although I don't think that at this point he's the most important player on the team as he was for the last 8 years. That would be Sean Couturier.
That's where I thought you were going. Didn't know if it was him or TK, but I figured you were going one of those two directions.
TK is not even two. To me, I go one, Couturier, two, Provorov, three, Carter Hart.
It's a good list.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. That's Tyler Zuli. I'm Jason Martinez. We're filling in for Mikey Miss right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's Jason Martinez. Filling in for Mikey Miss. A big holiday weekend. How are you going to celebrate this? I wonder how everybody's going to celebrate this weekend. Now, you can't celebrate it normal style, like, you know, at the Art Museum or Penn's Landing. Are they doing fireworks in the city?
I don't know. I know that most of the shore points have canceled them.
Okay.
So I don't know if they're doing them in the city. I would imagine not, but I can't give you a full answer.
Yeah, because they don't want people all congregating together like that with everything going on. So I would imagine they have canceled that. You know, all the fairs and everything, like the little town fairs and stuff have been canceled. You know, people will be letting off their own fireworks as they have been for the last month and a half. You know, I wonder how people are going to kind of celebrate, because this is one of those, you know, midsummer party holidays. What are you going to do for it? Do you go camping? You know, because you can social distance in the woods. I don't know what you do. 610-632-0975. Let's check our polls, as in plural, which are brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. The first poll that we mentioned right off the hop was that it's a four-part series today. How do you view each of the four teams in Philadelphia? So how do you view the Eagles? Do you view them as great, good, solid, or a non-playoff team? Right now, 55 or 56% of the vote says the Eagles are a good team. 20% says solid, 19% says great, and 5% says they're a non-playoff team. That's the Eagles. Okay, let's look at the Phillies. Now, the Phillies are different because, they're getting ready to start their season out like the Eagles. So right now, the Phillies, how would you categorize them? Is it great, good, solid, or a non-playoff team? 45% say the Phillies are solid. That's where I voted as well. That's the majority in this vote. 30% say good, 22% say non-playoff team, and 3% say they will be great. The Sixers, great, good, solid, or non-playoff team. Now, 60% responded said the Sixers are good. 23% say they are solid, 12% say they are great, and 6% say they're a non-playoff contender, but they are actually a playoff team.
So the reason that I put that is the reason I changed that is because I didn't want somebody to be like, well, they're already in the playoff.
Okay.
We know they're in the playoffs. So, you know, when we say non-playoff contender, do you think they'll be bounced in the first round?
So they can't make any noise.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Same with the Flyers in the next side.
Okay. And then the Flyers poll, great, good, solid, or non-playoff contender. 45% have voted, and that's where I voted, that the Flyers are good. So we're categorizing these teams. 38% say they are great, 13% say solid, and 4% say a non-playoff contender. So, I think I might have, I voted the majority with the Flyers. I said they were good. I don't think you can say they're great yet. Until, again, accomplishment. They are a team that had a really good regular season, but accomplishment as a collective team, to go to great, you have to have accomplished something. You have to win a couple rounds of the playoffs, look like a team that can do it for a sustained period of time over a number of seasons, and be a team that can ultimately win a championship. That's what greatness is. See, to me, we've gotten to this habit in sports of anointing greatness way before it's deserved. You know what I mean? Like I think you saying that Ben Simmons is great is anointing him too early. I do, because I don't think there's enough. You brought out some of the accomplishments that he's had, and I'm not saying team accomplishment, even individual. There's an element of his game that's untapped, so I'm not ready to say he's great, because he's not as good as he could be. He could be better, and until he gets to that, that's when you have achieved greatness, when you've achieved the peak of your ability, and it's great.
So
he hasn't done that.
If he never shoots the jumper, right, but he, I guess, fully rounds out everything else, rebound, passing, defense, driving, you know, if he becomes a better free throw shooter, can you, without the jumper entirely, ever say that he's great?
It depends on how he performs in moments where he needs to be great.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like in playoff series. Like we saw a couple years ago against Boston, he came up small. He wasn't willing to get fouled, so he dished the ball off, and it was to the detriment. So until greatness accomplishments come with his skill set, even if it is limited and he's not willing to shoot, then to me, I'm not going to call him great until that happens. With the Sixers, you know, to me, Joel Embiid has great talent, but he's not great yet, because there's too many other things distracting it. There's been issues of being in the best condition. He hasn't achieved his greatness yet, because he hasn't taken it seriously enough yet. While he's got great talent, and I think he can be an NBA great, he hasn't achieved it yet. So you have to look at what a player is capable of too, right? When you look at Bryce Harper, he's been a great Major League Baseball player. He's got great numbers. He left Washington and they won a World Series. And he was good at points here last year, and I'm fine with them signing him. He is at the bottom rung of great for me. He's not a great, like, he's not Mike Trout.
Well, and he has to be great right now.
Yeah, you know, he's in his prime.
As in with, you know, Simmons and Embiid, we want them to be great right now, and they should probably be getting to that point. Mm-hmm. If in 2020, do they have to be great? I guess in theory, probably not. Like, Bryce Harper has to be great this season.
Yeah, if they're going to have a chance.
Yeah.
Because, look, they're not a great team. They're a good team. Solid team, as the people have voted. 610-632-0975, so we'll give players and personnel to people on the phones as well. Let's go to John in Roxborough on the Fanatic. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
What's up, man?
I just want to express my outrage at how these national NBA experts, they talk about, you know, the playoffs. They talk about both L.A. teams, Boston and Milwaukee. One of them even had the nerve to say, if there's an asterisk on the season, it won't be if one of those teams won it. It'll be a team like if the Sixers won it. Almost vomited in my mouth.
Wait, who said that?
It was on First Take, I believe.
Well,
I believe
did they consider the source, John? I mean, it's First Take. They say things that irritate you.
Right, but every other show I've seen, now, they didn't make the same asterisk comment, but they never mentioned Philadelphia even being a team to even consider. We are built for the playoffs.
Are we?
Yeah, we are. Come on. Yeah,
on paper. But John, if there's anything we've learned over the last couple of years, that paper isn't worth anything. It's a crumpled up thing you throw in the garbage can. Last year we went into the season, the Eagles season, and on paper they were great. What happened? You know what I mean? The Sixers on paper. But if the players don't handle themselves correctly through an entire regular season that's landed them a sixth seed, then how can you say they're built for the playoffs?
Just like this. Throughout the season, you're going to have your ebbs, your flows. You're going to win that you're going to lose that random game. And they lost a lot of games on the road. I mean, yeah, on the road as we know. But to beat a team four times in a row, in a seven-game series, with the size that we have, a good big man always beats a good little man.
Yeah, but if the big man doesn't go down on the block to take care of that, to take advantage of that mismatch, and the big man isn't in the proper shape, then does it really matter? You got to look at the past, you know what I mean, to consider the future.
We only didn't go to the championship last year because of one bounce.
And four bounces.
I know what you're saying, bro. But I definitely think that we're a better team than we were last year. I think that we have better players. And I think that on our team, maybe I'm being a homer, but I think the Josh Richardsons, the Maurice Stibles, I think in a time like this, those players like that really want to step up for us.
Well, what I look at, though, John, is I look at the recent history. And right. I go, until I'm going to believe the recent history wasn't true, I need to see something different. And until then, I'm not going to go there. Let me give you a player that you can categorize for me. I'm going to go to the NBA for you. All right.
Sure.
And I want you to determine whether they're great, good, solid, but non-essential, or see, I don't care. And the player I'm going to give you is Joel Embiid.
Good.
Good. Okay. But he can be great, right?
Oh. He can be the truth. But right now, he's good. There's a lot of parts of his game that have to get better. He has to get coached better. He has to play better to be great.
I agree with you. Thanks for the call, John. I appreciate it. I put this quote out on Twitter yesterday, and it's in regards to basically what I just said about the Sixers. Because while you can sit there and say, hey, they're built for the playoffs and all that stuff, and every team tries to build themselves for the playoffs, it put themselves in position to get in and do damage. But I look at it and I go, this is a team that's gotten knocked out in the second round. You can say, hey, a quadruple doink knocked them out last year, and that's true. And that team went on to win the NBA title, and that's true. And the Sixers may have been a team that could have gone that far or gotten past Milwaukee as well. But this is true, this quote. It's no more apropos than in Philadelphia sports right now, in our world, in everything. And here's the quote. It comes from a guy named George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel. This is the quote, Tyler. The only thing we learn from history is that we learn nothing from history. Like, I hear this on the air all the time, and I see it on social media. The Sixers are going to come back. They're going to the NBA Finals. Look, I want to see it. I hope they do. I think they're a team that has some talent, and maybe the pause is just what the doctor ordered, right? Maybe the fact that this pandemic hitting and they haven't played games in now 115 days or whatever helps them, and it's a reset button, and it helps Al Horford. And maybe Brett Brown did find the secret to life. You know what I mean? During this pause. Till I see it, I don't believe it. I hope that's the case. So this constant thing of we in Philadelphia, and I don't know if this happens in other towns, and I don't give a damn because I don't live in other towns. And I've lived here my whole life. We always get caught up in what we see on paper. And it's part of being a fan. I get it. We get caught up in what we see on paper, and we set our expectations to that. We don't set our expectations on the way players, coaches, teams have performed based on their history. And then get over-delivered and be happy when they over-deliver. We always feel like our teams have under-delivered because we value what a team looks like on paper more than we should. And we did it with the Eagles. We did it with the Sixers this year. They're a sixth seed. They earned that sixth seed status by sucking on the road. They earned it. So the only thing, we need to learn from the past and go, on paper doesn't mean anything. Again, the only thing we learn from history is that we learn nothing from history. That's us in a nutshell. Isn't it?
And the thing is, too, you tell us that they're built for the playoffs and whatever. And if you want me to believe that, that's fine. But if you're built for the playoffs, you've made your road significantly more difficult by struggling in the regular season. I know that Orlando makes the whole home court advantage thing a moot point. But
it's the matchup.
Exactly. Yeah. And whoever you feel like you want to play, you would have had a chance to at least been able to dictate that. Mm-hmm. But now you have your situation dictated to you by being the sixth seed.
Yeah. And here's the thing. In the NBA, that's pronounced. You know, the notion of, hey, if I'm a higher seed, I get a more inferior opponent right out of the gate. And then in the second round and in the third round and whatever going forward, right? In the NHL, that's not the case. Like an eight seed can win the cup. In the NBA, that doesn't happen. A sixth seed doesn't win the cup in the NBA or the trophy, the championship in the NBA. But in the NBA, if you're the two seed, you are at, even if there's not actual home court, the opponent's more inferior than if you're a sixth seed and you got to fight your way up.
Well, and even if you think about it, to go back to last year, the Raptors played the Magic in the first round as the eighth seed. Obviously, they won game one. Same thing with the Sixers playing the Nets in the 7-2 matchup, you know, winning game one and then the Sixers win the series. The Sixers are the three seed. That's not a matchup that I feel nearly as comfortable with as I did with them being the two seed last year.
It's far different. You're absolutely right. 610-632-0975. We'll get everybody on the phones coming up. It is Jason Martinez filling in for Mike You Miss right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's Jason Tito filling in for Mikey Miss. I haven't seen, how do I look on TV? It's my first time doing TV for Mike's show.
I popped this on. I was looking at us.
Yeah?
We look like two guys that should be working for radio.
I know. My wife was like, oh man, you're going to be on TV? And I was like, yeah, I'm not really. She's like, yeah, you love it. And I was never one that, you know, needed to be seen on television. Just, I'm a radio guy. I look like a radio guy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Although I will say I did my hair today. So I get a nice,
which
nice
one?
Shave. Yeah. The one I found. I trimmed up and shaved up my cheeks a little bit because I was looking a little, you know, a little unruly. As everybody kind of did during the pandemic. Everybody like let themselves go with their hair because you couldn't get your hair cut, but people decided not to shave. And I was way ahead of the curve there.
That's what, Pat, I came in today and Pat, you know, immediately got on my case for how my hair looks. And I think it looks a lot better with the headphones on because you can't see it kind of puffing out to the sides.
Yeah.
And I said, Pat, this was the option that won. You should have seen some of the worst options.
Yeah, no doubt. well, it's going to be an interesting weekend. I'm interested to see how everybody's going to kind of celebrate the 4th of July weekend and how it's going to go. Hopefully everybody does the right things out there and, you know, wear your mask, people, please. If it gets my kids back in school in the fall and keeps everybody healthy, that's all we want. I can't homeschool again. I can't do it. It wasn't enjoyable the first time. I didn't need any, you know, reaffirmation that I wasn't an academic all-star. And I got the reaffirmation anyway that I wasn't an academic all-star trying to help my kids with homeschooling. The math was impossible. They teach it different now, I know, but that's no excuse.
Stuff that you didn't know when you were in high school and trying to learn it again, years later.
I got a son in seventh grade, this year, and a daughter, and I couldn't help him with math homework. Couldn't. I get the answer like and try and reverse engineer it, but I couldn't.
I find myself doing the same thing. Like I saw something on, you know, I went down a rabbit hole online and found my way from watching, you know, listening to music to watching some guy do some kind of math formula.
Oh,
and I'm watching them and I'm like,
why am I watching this?
First off, why am I watching this? And second off, I don't even know what I'm supposed to know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know the baseline of this.
Yeah.
You're talking about all these formulas and things like that. And I was so lost.
Let me ask you this question. I suffer from a problem, a lot of problems, but what I keep doing now is, you know, through the pandemic, we all kind of purged or binge shows or whatever, like crazy. And now all I do is find shows to put on my list in my queue, but I never watch them. Like, they intrigue me enough to go, okay, I'll put that on my list. That looks pretty good. But then I never watch the show, or I'll watch 20 minutes of the first episode. Then I'll go try and find more shows to put on my list, but I don't watch any of them.
See, I'm way better with the shows than I am with the movies, because the shows, if you got, especially if they're 20-minute or half-an-hour episodes,
yeah.
I can watch one or two of those in the
movie's
morning.
Commitment.
Right, that's the thing is, I got to be like, all right, I've got 2 hours to watch this movie. Because all the movies I want to watch are 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, there's no 80-minute movie anymore.
No. I got a bunch of movies in my queue on Netflix and Amazon Prime and all that stuff. And I just have all these shows there, and I don't watch any of them. And I'm going, I got to start watching these, but nothing is like, I think I found the end of Netflix, the good stuff. I can't find anything that like I'm seriously intrigued about.
And when sports comes back, there's no chance.
I can't wait. Like, I need something else to watch. I'm so sick of binge watching shows.
That's why the Bulls documentary was so good.
Yeah.
Gave us something sports and new.
And they gave you 2 episodes a week.
Right.
It was great. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Greg in Bethlehem on the Fanatic. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. Good fill-in today. I wanted to talk about the Flyers, but in your discussion of greatness, you know, it got me to thinking, other than Doc Holliday, have we had any great players in the 2000s in the city?
Any great since 2000? Have we had any great players?
Well, I'm sure there's somebody I'm forgetting, but.
Well, Allen Iverson was pretty great, wasn't he?
Well, he was. I thought he was in the 90s.
Well, he got to the final in 01.
Okay, all right. Well, then that's my mistake.
Let me give you a few other ones that I thought were great. Was Jimmy Rollins great?
Well, that was my question. You know, were the guys in that 08 season, they played very well, and I would consider them great. I just didn't know if you guys did.
I consider Jimmy Rollins great. I really do. I think he was the greatest player of that group on that team.
Right.
I think Ryan Howard was great. I mean, he had 5 years in Major League Baseball. The numbers are legendary, like Babe Ruth numbers, right? I look at Chase Utley was, I don't want to go great on Utley. He was really good, and he had seasons of being great. He was great in moments, but the two greatest players of that team, positional players, to me, were Jimmy Rollins and Ryan Howard.
I was sort of on the fence as to whether to go great there. I thought probably I should, and I forgot. I thought Iverson was like 99 or something. I didn't realize he was in the 2001.
Well, was McNabb great? Was Brian Westbrook? Brian Dawkins was great, wasn't he? Hall of Famer?
I wouldn't put McNabb as a great.
What about Dawkins?
Yeah, I guess I would have to put Doc up there.
You guess you would have to put Doc up there? What sports have you been watching, Greg?
I shouldn't say I guess. I would put Doc up there.
Matter with you?
You know, I would definitely put Doc up there. They shouldn't have got rid of him. But you know, the reason I called is I last night I saw the replay of the Flyers thrashing the Caps this year, and
was it the 7-2 game?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I realized that they were getting contributions across the board from almost everybody. And I got to thinking, you know, in a compressed season, are you better to have a team with a couple of superstars and a bunch of role players or a team like the Flyers that has that kind of balance?
Yeah.
I lean toward the balance.
Yeah, you can look at, and thanks for the call, Greg. You can look at teams and... Teams with great players win the cup, but like last year's team didn't with the St. Louis Blues. They didn't have the elite superstar player. They had some good ones, obviously, and Tarasenko and Petrangelo, and then you look at, obviously, Ryan O'Reilly and Binnington. But is it better to be more well-balanced or have, you know, that elite great player like a Crosby? He's obviously won. He's won three cups. So I look at it. I think they're a team that's built to do damage in the playoffs because of that depth, and I think you'll need that. But you got to have goaltending too, and they have that in Carter Hart, but he hasn't played an NHL playoff game yet. Great players since 2000. There's a decent amount. Obviously, Iverson is one of the great players since 2000.
For sure.
You look at the Phillies, I think Rollins was great. I think Howard was great. And some people will say that Utley was great. Cole Hamels was really good too. Brad Lidge had a great season with the perfect season. Who else was great? I think Giroux was great through a decade.
Since 2000?
Yeah.
McNabb was great.
Was he great?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Was he great, though?
I think he was.
He was really good. Again, I think we throw that word great around too easily.
I would agree.
Getting to the five NFC championship games in one Super Bowl is a great achievement. Like, you can't minimize. You can say, well, he only won one of those championship games. And you're right about that. But to get to those five NFC championship games is a feat unto itself. You got to win a lot of playoff games to get there. Sometimes only one, but...
But and I think the reason for him is, for me, that why I say he's great, is I know the defense was really, really, really good. And that was a great defense. Might have been great there.
Jim Johnson was great.
But, I mean, you think about it. Outside of the 1 year he had T.O., who were his weapons for most of the time? He had Deuce Staley and he had Brian Westbrook.
Pinkston,
they're both running backs.
Yeah, Pinkston and Thrash.
Chad Lewis was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he was great and elevated their games to either a, I guess, respectable level or a good level.
Yeah.
Which is why I think he's great.
It was a great era of Eagles football, but it wasn't the greatest era of any team in the 20 years since 2000. That goes to the Phillies.
Yes.
Because of the sustained success over those years. It is a travesty, though, that they only won one World Series. They should have won another one with that core. They brought that whole core along. They added to it with Victorino and Wirth. and then some of the pitching that they obviously added. In 2011, they should have won it. They just didn't hit at the right time with that pitching staff that was so good. So 610-632-0975, that is the number. It's Jason Martinez filling in for Mikey Mist right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.